And now for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Is there a backlash against older women as the result of Basic Instinct 2? We'll find out tonight when we speak with Chris Norton. Chris is not only a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, he has an online magazine called Chris Norton's Fox Fever, and he had to quarantine some of the pages on his site this past weekend as the result of the film Basic Instinct bombing at the box office. We'll also have Mr. Jim Kettering on our program to talk about the already heavy influence of the Hispanic culture in America with all the Spanish-named towns and all of the tortillas and tortilla chips. What more do they want? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, we are preempted in the Los Angeles area tonight because UCLA is in the title game. They're getting their ass kicked by Florida. 34-22, they're getting smoked. And as the result of me being preempted in L.A., UCLA will lose tonight. Let me repeat that. They will lose as the result of me getting bounced off the air in L.A. for this crap. Why do I call it crap? Do I sound bitter? I'm not bitter. I just didn't go to college. My parents couldn't afford it. My mother scraped and scrimped and was able to only get herself a wig, a bouffant wig for $15. Me, I went hungry, but at least we had that wig sitting there on that styrofoam head. So Florida right now is handing UCLA their ass, 34-22, and that'll continue as the result of God hating UCLA for preempting Phil Hendry. But what else is new? By the way, just a little, I just wanted to mention this. For you folks in Florida, you'll kind of get a kick out of this. The Orlando Sentinel, I understand, is a newspaper, and I also understand it's the paper of record in the Orlando area. And they mentioned the fact that Phil Hendry is on a TV show called Teachers, which I really appreciate. Guess what radio station they had me broadcasting on? WPRD. Now, you've never heard of it, neither have I. But what I was told that it was what the station used to be before the station I was on. When I first started in radio, I started on a station called WBJW. You ready for that? That's my very first station in the business. That was the first station ever broadcast on, WBJW. Why they changed the call letters to that from RPD. But that's what the call letters were of the station that I worked on. Before it was WBJW, and before I ever got into the radio business, it was another station called WRPD. So what years are we talking about here? Well, we're talking pre-1973, because that was my first year in radio was 73. All right, that's fine. Now you take a major daily newspaper. I say major. It's in Orlando. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. It's a newspaper. And they got me. They said, Phil Hendry of WRPD. Now, the guy that wrote that must have been 160 years old or got his information from a guy that's 160 or doesn't listen to any radio in Orlando. Or, what's probably more to the point, the station in Orlando that we were on doesn't do any promotion whatsoever. Of our show, at least. WRPD, that station hasn't, and you know what? Not only is it not WRPD anymore, but it's gone through like 900 different call letter changes, and it's gone through 9 different formats, and it's now all Spanish. In other words, that would be like the LA Times saying, Howard Stern of Armed Forces Radio, you know, Rush Limbaugh, who does his show on Radio Free Luxembourg, was quoted recently. You see, I'm not saying I'm as big as those guys, but then I'm talking about the LA Times here for those cats. Me, the Orlando Sentinel, that's about my speed. They can't even get it right on that one. What do you think that's about? Did they change the call? But here's the thing. Somebody said to me, well, what if they change the callers back to WRPD? I said, that's fine. That explains the fact that the station is now called WRPD again. But what explains the fact that I haven't been on that frequency in 31 years that they would have me on that station? 31 years that I'm on another station, on an FM station. What explains it? Well, we found out. We dug around and found out that the Orlando police have uncovered one of the largest quaalude rings in Central Florida history right there in the newsroom of the Orlando Sentinel. Now, you and I have all, sure, your lewd dropping days are over. I know mine are. How long ago was it?
I don't know. I took half a lewd. A lewd?
A lewd. The word. It's been a long time for all of us, but not at the Orlando Sentinel. They take half a lewd and go to work. Jesus. Nice going, baby. All right, it's Florida 34, UCLA 22. What an exciting game college basketball is, isn't it? I mean, the scoring and the, oh, God, and the rah-rah. They asked me the other day, they said, do you like college basketball, Phil? I said, no, I don't. And they said, why? Because, for one reason, I didn't go to college, so I don't really have a college team to root for. But secondly, I don't like all that rah-rah. I don't like the pom-poms and stuff, man. Forget it. You know, I'm not into that whole dun 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 dun. And college ball is so goofy. You know, it, like, what is this? The first quarter, 3:22. I looked up 6 minutes ago, it was 34:22. Now I'm looking up, and there's some long, cool drink of water still trying to make a free throw. That was 5 minutes ago. All right, let's see if Benny can do it. Clank! So UCLA is getting hammered here by Florida, 34:23. Boy, this is going to be a vomacious night for those guys, baby. Coming up, we have our flashback by request. Thank all of you who are with us on Friday night. I want to thank all of you who are with us on Friday night for our webcast. I guess we can take that webcast banner down now, Doug. It was a smashing success. We had a ball, and we'll do it again real soon. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 9:30 on NBC, Teachers! It's the new hit comedy, or so they tell me. And you know, I'm getting all kinds of offers of work now. See, I knew this would happen. As soon as the TV show got on the air, I knew I'm getting offers. And last week, I got asked to come in and read for the new Chris Elliott pilot, okay? And I got dressed this morning, and I was going to play the character of the brother-in-law, Chris Elliott.
Who's he?
You don't know Chris Elliott?
No.
He's a comic.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, you have, man. Chris, what's he been on, Mark? What was that other show he was on?
He sucks.
No, he's all over the place.
So's crap?
Anyway, so I got all dressed up, I'm on my way, and I got a call from a guy. They already hired somebody, they're calling off all the auditions. I said, great. Well, at least I was halfway there. So tomorrow night, 9:30, NBC Teachers. This is a good episode. This is the one where I kick somebody's ass, or I, like, smoke on screen, or something happens. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, and our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. And coming up, our flashback by request.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Had a funny little conversation here. We got to get to our flashback, but Mark was telling me that he was backstage with the band Scorpions once, and he witnessed them, did not partake, but witnessed this band, Scorpions, smoking, he said, the largest joint probably in history, bigger than anything Peter Tosh ever had in his face. Big, fat, fat, fat joint. And I said, of course you got, you know how much dope you got to smoke to forget you're German? Do you know how much weed you got to process through your system to forget you am Kraut? You know, these guys are just party boys. Just rock you like a hurricane. And you just not forget it, man. You can party all you want, smoke as much dope as you want, drown yourself in schnapps. You're still German when you wake up the next day. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Time now for our flashback by request. Hey, Phil, I'm requesting the bit from the guy, the bit about the guy from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who was trying to find bisexual girls. Now, if I remember right, he was offering girls $100 to kiss her friend. That was one of the funniest bits ever. Thanks, Greg. Oh, I remember. Jay Santos was out. He said bisexuality, lesbianism, gay sex was really the corruption of young people. And he wanted to make sure, wanted to find out who the lesbians were. So naturally, he's running around with his Citizens Auxiliary Police paying chicks $100 to kiss each other to make sure they're not lesbians. Here it is, Jay Santos.
I must say that I am absolutely offended by everything that this gentleman said.
Can I ask a question of the lady right now? Who are you speaking with? Who are you speaking with just before you started talking to me?
Mister, I was in a convenience store. Sorry.
All right, no problem.
But what I want to say,
you know what I mean by the, you know what I mean by a man eater.
I completely know. Let me make my point first.
Yes, ma'am.
As a lesbian woman who has been out for a very long time, I do not believe that young girls that are kissing other young girls are necessarily bisexual. You have to think about the millions of girls that go to college, they go out, they get drunk, and they make out with other females. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're bisexual. Are they experimenting? Absolutely. But that does not make them bisexual.
But you need to understand which ones are on their way toward the full diesel motif.
If you can provide me with some scientific information that says that women that make out with other women are going to be bisexual when they get older, then I'll absolutely believe you. But I can tell you, as a woman that went to college and made out with other females even when I thought I was straight, you know something? That doesn't necessarily mean that a female is bisexual when she makes out with another female.
Hold on for a second. You just got done saying you're gay, correct?
I am.
All right. You made out with other women even though you thought you were straight. I mean, ma'am, what you're basically saying is you were in school, you were deep French kissing, feeling up butts, doing the whole man-eat act.
Hold on. Whoa.
And then you turned into a full diesel.
That was my case.
Did you go diesel?
I have friends who did the exact same thing that I did, and guess what? They are married to other men, and they have kids. Does that make them gay? No, they were experimenting.
I think the parents are entitled to know whether their daughter is a traditional sexually or whether she is a two-stroke diesel. Now,
what do you mean by diesel, man? I don't get that.
I'm talking about, this young lady knows what I mean. I'm talking about diesel dyke, this kind of deal.
Well, you're talking about...
That is something that people that are closed-minded, that like you, put on females that may choose to look like a guy. Every female does not look like that, and I think that it's very fair that you keep referring to lesbian women as diesel dykes or man-eaters, whatever. We are not like that. We are people just like any other
female. Well, I certainly agree with that, ma'am. I'm not trying to offend you. May I ask you this time, are you butch?
Absolutely not.
Right,
if you saw me walking on the street, you would have no clue that I was a lesbian.
All right. So my question is this. Do you wear pantsuits, any kind of thing like that?
I wear anything that I feel pleased to wear.
Well,
I want to ask the lady, did you watch Ellen DeGeneres, for instance, last night on the Emmy Awards?
Did I watch her win?
Did you see Ellen DeGeneres last night hosting the Emmy Awards, ma'am?
No, I did not.
All right. She had on a comfortable suit, and I have to tell you, I'd look good in it. I mean, I was envious of that suit.
She has that prerogative to do so. If she wants to dress like a man, then she has that prerogative.
All right, ma'am, I'm going to ask you, do you shave your armpits?
Do I what?
Do you shave your armpits?
I do, yeah.
All right, I got no problem with her, Phil.
Well, wait a minute, man. This has got nothing to do.
Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't you think a parent is entitled to know if his daughter or her daughter is out there on the streets lip-locking and feeling up the butt of some...
But you know something? That is the responsibility of a parent.
Of some she-male.
That is the responsibility of a parent, and that all falls back on the parent. If a parent is allowing their child to be out that late at night, then that is that parent's responsibility to know what that child is doing and who that child is doing it
well,
with.
Isn't that
is it your responsibility to offer money and to take pictures even though you're not giving the money out? No, that's not your responsibility. That is the responsibility of the parent.
But, ma'am, don't you think the parents need to see photographic evidence of their child?
You know something?
She may
if they're out that late, their
activity.
Parents should be with them.
All right,
if
hold
they're
on.
Out that late.
Yeah, and I'm
and
confused.
Know
you
that
said
they're out that late.
Yeah, if she's involved, but if she's involved in she-male activity.
See, when you say she-male, what are you talking about?
He's talking about a female that looks like a man.
There you go.
All right, look, Tiffany. Thank you. I think you've cleared some things up for me.
Thank you very much.
Well,
Joe.
I don't
it
think she has cleared anything up for you.
Yes, she has cleared up a lot for me.
She said that she was a lesbian. She was kissing girls in school, and she's a lesbian. So that's what I'm saying. Kiss a girl in school.
It's not all females, and I want you to acknowledge that it's not every single female.
All right, it's not every female, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't have Timberland and flannel shirts in your closet, I swear to God that I've got a female organ. Do you?
No, I do not.
Come on.
You know what? I was fine, man, until I heard that line. I think a parent has the right to know if their daughter is involved in she-male activity. And I swear to God, I had a mouthful of Starbucks, and it shot across my board, across the phone console, and it soaked the production console. In other words, I was laughing at my own material. Now it's time for Darren Brown, our program director at Pierre, South Dakota, it's C93. Darren, how are you?
Well, I'm doing really great. You know, I got to tell you something. Your program is hitting a home run here at Pierre, South Dakota. Well, this is what I did there that you did with the dyke, and I wanted to come up with a kind of a comedy idea. I've got a couple of comedy bit ideas with a dyke.
Oh, you? I'm sorry.
I got a couple of comedy ideas we want to run by you.
Oh, you got a comedy idea you want to run by me?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I heard the diesel tank bit here you just did the other day. And I was listening to a thing on your website where you're talking about chim chow, mango chow. It's kind of a deal, right? I'm very tasteless about the chim chow, mango chow. I'm not sure I like chim chow, mango chow. I might have racial overtone. But Phil, I was listening to the interview you were doing there with the lady. And I got to tell you something, Phil, right now, I think I've got a great comedy idea, a great comedy concept. See what you can do with this, okay? Just in the long tradition of program directors, I think I'll just throw an idea at you, and you're supposed to make a genius thing out of it, even though it's sort of half-baked and stupid. Are you ready for it?
This is based on what you just heard?
Yeah, just based on the interview you did with Gene Sandler, the Citizen All Usually Played.
Okay, what is it?
How about Diesel Dyke Chow, huh? Or Dyke Chow or Diesel Chow? What do you think about that? Hey, get your lesbian down on all fours there and get her in a little kind of a tin bowl. Feed her Diesel Chow. That's right. If you think someone's going Diesel Dyke on you, get her the Dyke Chow. Yeah, Dyke Chow from Purina.
Dyke Chow. It ain't as funny as Chimp Chow or Mongo Chow.
But what about Diesel Chow?
Diesel Chow?
Dude.
I don't know, man. Why don't you slow down when you talk?
Station here, you know, you're the Clear Channel station here in Pierce, South Dakota.
So, hey, by the way, speaking of that, we're on your station, right?
That's right.
Do you promote our show?
Well, I got you out here for a pretty good time. We got you on from midnight to 3.
And, midnight to 3. What are you doing? You playing the tapes from yesterday's show?
Right, so we're going to tape delay because we got the University of South Dakota Coonskin basketball, and we really want to make sure that we got up the basketball game.
So you're tape delaying my show till tomorrow for University of South Dakota Coonskin basketball.
That's right, Phil. You know, they made the NIT this year. They're going to make the Upper Midwest Chota Conference championship.
What do you mean the Upper Midwest Chota Conference?
Tell you right now. We've got to bring it up to me.
All right, so what do you do to promote my show?
Now we got the promos running. Going to be running there to the Johnny Urchin Show. We got a couple of promos running the Rusty Humphrey program, which leads right in.
You got me. Oh, thanks. So my lead-in is Rusty Humphrey.
That's right. You don't have to offer to buy it.
I don't even understand what you're saying, man. Do you understand that my life is in the hands of guys like you? And you're...
Well, I'm trying to tell you, Rusty Humphrey is a pretty good show. I don't really like that guy.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, man. I don't know what the cat's got, his show's got in common with mine. You know?
Well, I tell you what, I think one of the two will really help out if you do that Diesel Dyke Chow.
Yeah, that's it, man. That'll hit me over the top in Pierce, South Dakota if I just do some more Diesel Dyke Chow bits. God.
I'll tell you something, Phil. You gotta understand the radio business.
I hate this guy.
Hold on, bud.
What did you say, buddy?
No, I didn't say anything.
I think you gotta understand the radio business. You're gonna hear here in Pierce, South Dakota. You're gonna be a little run here.
I'm gonna kill him.
Bud, shut up.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I thought I heard something.
No. It's nothing. Look,
I hate him.
Shut up, bud, and back off.
What do you say?
Nothing. Look, man, I can't do any Diesel Dyke Chow or any of that stuff. I mean, that's very racist.
What are you talking about? Chip Chow's racist? I don't hear the thing you were talking about.
I can't take it. I'm going through the phone.
What's going on?
Bud, stay out of the phone.
What's going on?
Stay out of the phone, bud.
I'm going to get in the phone.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm coming down the fiber optic line. Hey, Phil, what's going on over there?
Look at Mr. Brown. Get out of there. Get out of there fast. Run. Run. Bud's coming through the phone.
You kidding me, man? Some retard coming to the phone? Oh, I couldn't make a bolt turn.
Yeah, what do you think of this?
Yeah. Like that, don't you, huh? He's dead. He's dead and nothing, we can't do nothing about it. We tried to do everything we could, but we could do nothing about it.
He's gone?
He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
He's gone and there was nothing we could do about it.
Nothing you could do about it? You went to the phone and killed him.
He's gone. We tried to do everything we could, but there was nothing we could do about it.
All right, Jackball. Now what are you going to do with the body?
Wood chipper?
Nope, that's in the movies.
Pit of lie.
Movies.
Garbage disposal?
Movies.
Turn myself in?
Good idea.
All right. I'll be right back. This is Bud Dickman turning himself into the police on the Phil Hendry Show. Darren Brown has been murdered.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Wardrobe on the Phil Hendry Show provided by Pat Magnums of Hollywood.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, coming up tonight, we will be talking with Chris Norton. Mr. Norton, a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical company, a 28-year-old man who also has an online erotic magazine called Chris Norton's Fox Fever. Don't you love these guys that name things after themselves? Bill Johnson's. Yeah, what was the movie that was out years ago? Bob Guccione's Caligula. Oh, I see. Then I saw a movie today, Bram Stoker's The Way of the Vampire. Boy, that poor bastard. You know who that guy was? Bram Stoker? That's the guy who wrote the original Dracula. They stick his name on everything. Somehow, that guy's name is now public domain. You could start a candy bar, if you will. Bram Stoker's Candy Bar. They put his name on everything. Everything that he probably would regurgitate looking at. He was some old guy. I can see you looking at me, bud.
What do you mean, Bram Stoker? What is that? Is that a man?
Yes, it's a man.
What's the name of that?
It's a guy's name, and it was the guy that wrote Dracula. The first Dracula. The original Dracula. That's the dude who wrote it. Okay? And then he kicked, and his old lady, she got all bugged with everybody, because what they did is they took the book, and they turned it into a play in New York on Broadway, and then they turned it into a movie. And old lady Stoker was going ape. She was,
she just wanted to get her teeth into it, huh? No, please don't hit me. No!
I don't like you being funnier than me, but it was pretty good. Got her teeth into it, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what they did is they took this movie, or this book called Bram Stoker's Dracula. It was called Dracula. It wasn't called Bram Stoker's Dracula. That was just the guy that wrote it.
Right. Just kind of sucked it dry of all of its vitality, huh?
And anyway, they took this and they made it into a play. Now the play, it was a hit play in New York, and they decided that they would, well, what the hell, it's a hit play. Let's
Really wanted to suck the franchise dry, huh?
Hey, you know what, bud? I'm just going to keep talking to see when you run out of vampire references, because I know that's the only three you got. You've used suck twice and got their teeth into it once. What else you got, huh? Come on.
Oh, you want me to come at you?
Yeah. Let me see what you got, man. Come on, let's go. Yeah.
I got that thing a million.
Oh, you really? Huh? Well, I'm going to keep talking about it. And you just go right ahead, man, and lay your little cuties on me. I bet you've run out of two suck references and one got their teeth into it. You're done. All right. So they made a play out of it. And
took a bite out of the box office, huh?
See, that's the same as got their teeth into it.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it ain't.
And now I watched this movie this morning called The Way of the Vampire. It's actually pretty cool. Because this one guy, he's uniting all of the vampires. And he's got them all in an alley. You know how modern vampires all live in alleys and they're all hippie. Well, they're all like, you know, freaks and punks and stoners and gangbangers. That's what the modern vampire is. They all wear like hoods and they listen to, you know, they're listening to the latest in vampire hip hop. And the dude that unites them all, some cat, kind of a Willem Dafoe type. And he's standing up on top of a tool shed in an alley in L.A. And it's midnight, you know. And he's given the big speech that you'd expect the head vampire to give. We must unite against the humans. We are the most powerful creatures on Earth, and yet we've been forced to live in dank, foul basements, you know, and drinking the cold blood of dead animals instead of the warm blood of humans. So he's giving this very rousing speech, and the vampires are all looking dumb like they do, because vampires look real dumb. They just look up like, huh, with the fangs coming down. And but he says, but there's one reason and one reason alone, Van Helsing. Here's this other guy, Van Helsing. Only now in this movie, Van Helsing is a emergency room surgeon at a regular city hospital. And it just so happens on his watch, in comes some chick who's been sucked dry. So, oh yeah, I recognize this. He shoves garlic in her kisser, drops the holy water on her, saws her head off, sticks her in a grave. But it being the modern vampire movie, no, that can't kill him. No, are you kidding? No. Used to be, stick a stake in him, done. Now you got to stick a stake in him, put the garlic in the mouth, cut the head off, and even then. What's the other thing Well, you didn't cremate them. Ah, that's the new secret weapon, man. So anyway, I dug it, but, you know, once again, the question, you know, occurs as I'm watching this. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and smarter guys than me have said it. But there's no way in hell, if I'm going to kill a vampire, that I am not done before 10 a.m. In other words, I get up, I have a nice breakfast, I go down, stick a stake through every one of them, and I am out of there before 10 o'clock in the morning. Why these jackballs start out? Well, let's see. It's about 4:30. Bill, what do you say we go down and start taking care of the vampires? Yeah, just as the sun's setting. It's a great idea. Are you out of your mind? What? Every freaking time we go down to kill a vampire, it's always 4:30 in the afternoon. Well, I don't know, I just got around to it now. Well, what, do you got something bigger to do? What, are you doing your taxes? Well, you know, I just want to sweep out the garage. You sweep out the garage, man. Now I'm going down into the pit. I got to go put the stake in the freaking vampire, man. It's 5 p.m. What's that got to do? The sun's going down, you jackass. The sun's going down. Oh, yeah. What do you suggest? What do I suggest? Tomorrow morning, we set the alarm, 8 a.m. Get up. I'll pick you up. We'll go get Starbucks. We'll have a nice McDonald's Egg McMuffin, okay? Then we go down to the castle, stick steaks and all of the and the vampires and his brides and all that crap. We're out of there by 10:30 in bright sunshine, and we do 9 holes over at Eaton Canyon. That's what I say.
Hey, where's Dracula water ski, Phil? Lake Erie?
God, gag, why don't you?
That's the perfectest joke I ever done, did.
The perfectest joke you ever done? Where does he water ski? Lake Erie.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Bull crap, you don't get it. You don't want to get it because, you know, I hit a home run, 3 points over your head. Beautiful arc on a shot. We'll take timeout. For this word from Dr. Scholl's foot pads.
What do you think of one, man?
You want to know why the Dracula franchise fell didn't really take off?
Why?
It's always a pain in the neck.
All right, man, I'm out of here. You blow a Chinese chimp, man.
Why?
Because it's cornball. Bug off. 1-8, isn't that cute? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website, www.philhendryshow.com, the spot to pick up new and interesting items from our souvenir shop, including the new official R.C. Collins Bradley Military Academy
douchebag
duffel bag. It's the new R.C. Collins official Bradley Military Academy duffel bag. You can order it today, baby, just by going to the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop. And while you're there, you get the cam hat, get the cam bag, get the whole damn thing, man. I eat the whole damn thing, man. Now, R.C. Collins' official Bradley Military Academy cap. Take cover in the Take cover. I love this. Take cover in the comfortable 6-panel poly cotton cap. And you can see Newman here modeling it. Far out, man. Did they just tell you to stand there in front of a thing? You're in the stairwell? Take cover in this comfortable 6-panel poly cotton cap with adjustable strap. Features embroidered Bradley Military Academy logo on the front. Now, here's the one that we're really pushing because I think the ladies in the house will probably like this one. R.C. Collins' official Bradley Military Academy duffel bag. In other words, the camouflage, cool-looking overnight bag or longer. At ease. RC's duffel is roomy. RC's duffel is roomy, tough. RC's duffel. All of a sudden, the kid's got his own stuff, man. God, he's come a long way from sacrificing chickens there in the railroad tunnel in Chatsworth. RC's duffel is roomy, tough, and durable. It measures 27 inches wide, 14 inches high, 13.5 inches deep, and is made of 100% polyester with 3 outside pockets, large main compartment, and a no-slip shoulder strap. Embroidered Bradley Military Academy logo on both the top and the front. And then we have the 100% pre-shrunk cotton T-shirt in Bradley Military Green only. That's the new Bradley Military Academy gear. And don't forget, Bobby's got her own shop. You can get all this stuff on our website. And one of the things about stuff on our website is it's 100% quality. 1,000,000% quality. The stuff is delivered fast. The quality is amazing. It's not garbage. It's not your usual radio station garbage. In other words, you know, the T-shirt with the logo that washes off, the coffee cup with that looks like, you know, looks like somebody just threw it on their kiln. Like maybe your girlfriend just threw it from her ceramic class or something. No, man. We go for the, you know, this is quality. We got Bobby's T-shirt. All this stuff is quality stuff. So go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, to our official souvenir shop. And then, of course, we have our Best Of CDs. And all the money goes to benefit My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And to that end, we're going to be having our first ever celebrity poker tournament at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens, California, May 27th, to benefit My Friend's Place. It'll be the first ever Phil Henry Show celebrity poker tournament at My Friend's Place, not at My Friend's Place, to benefit My Friend's Place. And that's May 27th. So there's all kinds of, you know, a lot of things on the calendar, baby. A lot of things on our plate. A lot of stuff coming up. And if you have no life, which has got to be the case with about 95% of you, then we've got things for you to do. All right, so mark all of that stuff down on your calendar. Coming up this evening on the Phil Henry Show, you're going to be listening to Mr. Chris Norton on the Sharon Stone movie Basic Instinct, and we'll also be talking to Jim Fluling, who is a man that's about had it with this whole immigration thing, especially since all of the cities are named Spanish names. So, you know, and tortillas are everywhere, and there's Mexican ladies on the bags of Dorito chips. I mean, what more do they want, huh? How much more of this culture are they going to shove down our throats? That's all ahead on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We just got a few minutes. I want to talk a little bit of showbiz with Tony Neal, who is a television producer of long standing in this town. I know he's at his cabin in the Sierra Nevadas. Tony, a very good evening to you. It must be gorgeous up there right now.
Well, it's very, very beautiful, Phil. And right now, of course, we have the winter snow, and that will become our snowpack and makes for great drinking water. And you're kind of watching the whole process starting right here in the Sierra Nevadas. It's very, very beautiful, Phil. As a matter of fact, I'm standing right next to a stream, as you can hear.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
Well, I don't know, man. Is that a stream, or is that just some water running in a sink?
No, it's a stream. Jesus H. Look at this. He doesn't think it's a real stream. He thinks it's water running in a sink.
I want to see that.
Look.
Harriet?
Yeah. Phil, I'm very, very grateful to have you on the program because we are finishing up our pilot, which we hope will be done in time for the upfronts in New York. And we were really, really looking forward to getting this on the schedule at CBS because I think that Criminal Unit Operation Cold-Blooded Murder is going to be one of the great new crime dramas on television. And we've been able to tap, and we had to go a long way, and we've been chasing this guy for a long time, but we've been able to tap Ryan Seacrest to play the hard-bitten detective, the veteran serial murder investigator, a guy that's seen it all, done it all, probably have been in a million fights, and we finally got him. So this is going to be a...
Ryan Seacrest, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I see. So you're another one. You think he's gay?
No, I didn't say I think he's gay. No, I did not say I think he's gay.
Well, you're animating it because you... Oh, Ryan Seacrest, huh? In other words, that Terry Hatcher picture, is that it?
No. No, I'm not... No, I'm just... Ryan Seacrest as the hard-bitten big-city cop who's seen it all? And what is the name of the show?
It's called Crime Unit Operation Cold-Blooded Murder.
Crime Unit Operation Cold-Blooded Murder. These freaking TV shows, man, with a 9-million-word title now. Is that just to play on that...
Aren't you aware of what's going on with the CSU, SUI, SUV, whatever the hell it is? You know, ain't you seen that CSI SUV?
CSI SU, CSI SV, I don't know what it's called. CSI Miami, right?
Well, it's somewhere. All those shows do big... This is Cold-Blooded Murder, Operation Ball Chop. And that'll be our very first thing. And we've got Ryan Seacrest, who plays the disillusioned, alcoholic, hard-bitten cop.
Come on, man.
What?
Well, isn't that a little bit of a stretch for a cat that's not... Look, at Ryan Seacrest, I mean, is a nice guy, and I'm sure that he's got his acting chops, but isn't that a little bit of a stretch for a cat that's got to be his early 30s? Hard-bitten alcoholic. Shouldn't you get a guy to play maybe plays a little older?
Here we go. So you're pitching yourself.
I never mentioned... No, I'm not talking about myself.
Yeah, you're pitching yourself, aren't you? You want to play this guy, huh?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
Why not?
Because I don't have the time. Because I got a comedy show on NBC that's going to kick ass and take off.
Yeah, you wish.
Oh, get a load of you.
Oh, come on, Phil. A little half-hour Presidium comedy? I'm talking about an hour drama on CBS, Criminal Unit. It's criminal to look at Brian Seacrest's unit, Chapter 1.
Get out of here, you jackball. I'm at a stream. Hey, Harriet.
Yeah?
Phil Hendry's show coming up next is Chris Norton.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.